RNZ Pacific News. Ata Maria ko Lydia Lewis, tēnei. Vanuatu's new Prime Minister Ismail Kalsakau says a risk of future cyber attacks on the government network remains. Last month, the entire government network went down following a cyber attack. Mr. Kalsakau recently announced 70% of services were back up and running. As the Vanuatu Daily Post reports, he says hacking their system is bread and butter for hackers around the world. But he says hopefully a new system will help experts react more swiftly to future threats. Unions in New Caledonia have threatened to go on strike next week. All major unions say they want an across-the-board pay increase for 6% in the private sector as of January 1st. They say it is clear that nothing has worked out to limit the impacts of inflation. They say there has been no breakthrough despite their desire for dialogue and the efforts of the working groups initiated by the government. The unions say if they don't hear back from their employer organisations, they will strike from Monday. Last week, private medical practices were closed for 2 days in an action by doctors to express their concern about the future of the healthcare sector. In Fiji, the Fijian Elections Office has issued all postal ballots to registered voters for the 2022 Fiji general election, but returns have been slow. Supervisor of Elections Mohamed Sanim says they have received 1,000 back so far.
We have to get a lot more back for the election, which and the date is the 14th of December, 6 p.m. It has to be back. You cannot mail it to us on 14th of December. The rule is that it has to be in our custody.
Pre-polling started on Monday. The National Federation Party in Fiji has asked Gunda Shipping to adjust its shipping schedule to allow a clash to avoid a clash with voting next Wednesday, December 14th. The party says it has been told by members of the Rotuman community it will be wanting to travel on the scheduled service. It says such trips usually take all day. This would deny travellers and crew the chance to vote. The National Federation Party says it is urging Gunda Shipping to be a responsible shipping operator by rescheduling the services to ensure it doesn't impede people's democratic rights. Meanwhile, bus travel will be free on voting day. An independent environmental human rights legacy impact statement of Rio Tinto's former Pangua mine in the autonomous Papua New Guinea region of Bougainville is to begin this week. Last year, Rio Tinto committed to fund the independent assessment in response to a human rights complaint brought by 156 local community members represented by Australia's Human Rights Law Centre. Don Wiseman has more.
The mine was forced to stop operating in 1989 by what became a 10-year-long civil war. The Bougainville government's very keen to see a resumption of mining there as it strives to develop its economy in its quest to achieve independence by 2027. The human rights complaint alleges that the massive volume of mine waste pollution left behind by Rio Tinto's Panguna mine is continuing to put people's lives and livelihoods at risk. Over 1 billion tonnes of waste tailings were released directly into the Jabba and Kawarong rivers during the operation of the Panguna mine between 1972 and 1989.
The Papua New Guinea Defence Force has signed a partnership deal with the United States Army's Wisconsin National Guard as part of World War II commemorations. It marks 80 years since the group participated in the Pacific Campaign. PNG Defence Force Commander Major General Mark Goina told the Post Courier the deal would involve training provided by the National Guard. A wreath-laying ceremony was held at Ella Beach Remembrance Park in Port Moresby, where Wisconsin National Guard Major General Paul Knapp said the deal was part of a global partnership.
Papua New Guinea joins a group of 95 nations as members of the National Guard State Partnership Program. The United States began this program in 1993 to build relationships that enhance global security and cooperation between nations.
The newly appointed Executive Director of the Western and Central Pacific Fisheries Commission, which oversees the world's largest tuna fishery, has raised concern at Japan's plan to release nuclear wastewater in the Pacific Ocean. Japan has a plan to release over 1 million tons of radioactive contaminated cooling water from its Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant into the Pacific Ocean, and it's expected to begin in early March or April next year. PAC News reports the new director, Ramos Christian, saying she wished the Japanese government will delay the release of the nuclear wastewater because of the risks involved. She says she understood there was some urgencies, but if the issue is not handled properly, its impacts will be devastating to the Pacific region, especially those who depended on the ocean for their sustenance. She says Japan is an important partner in the region, and if they could continue on consultation and not make any hasty decisions, she thinks that would go a long way, not just for the partnership, but also for protecting the region's fisheries. There is a call in New Zealand to reintroduce the excise duty on petrol gradually to avoid a sudden sharp price increase. The government has said it will announce by Christmas if it will extend its 25 cents a litre reduction in excise tax beyond January the 31st. AA's fuel spokesperson Terry Collins says adding the charge back over time will avoid the disruption of a quick hike.
Instead of thinking about a time frame focus, think about a price frame focus. So if the price comes back 5 or 10 cents in a month, put 5 or 10 cents of the duty back on. Nobody will notice it, doesn't add to the inflationary pressure, and it keeps the price static. They've got the ability to do that with a fuel excise duty.
Mr. Collins says if the tax isn't reintroduced, the government will have to find other ways to fund improvements to the roads. While almost 100,000 people wait for a New Zealand residence visa, some people have mistakenly received two. It is the latest in a series of glitches in the $56 million New Zealand dollar Adept computer system, which was introduced to streamline visa operations. More than 550 production defects or bugs have been identified by the start of November. Immigration New Zealand says it does not know how many duplicates have been issued. In sport, it took a penalty shootout to separate Saipan and Morocco in their round of 16 match at the FIFA World Cup.
Morocco with the chance to win it and go through.
As you heard on Sky Sport, Morocco has beaten Spain 3-0 on penalties in an upset result. The score had stayed at nil-all through regulation and extra time. Morocco will play the winner of the last round of 16 match between Portugal and Switzerland. And Sport New Zealand has released guiding principles for the inclusion of transgender people in community sport. The overarching principle is that every New Zealander has the right to participate in sport. Bridget Tunnicliffe reports.
The guiding principles have been developed following engagement with the transgender and sporting communities, academics, researchers and other advocacy groups. Sport New Zealand's guiding principles include ensuring the health, well-being and safety of all participants, privacy and better education to support transgender participation. Practical suggestions include sports clubs developing inclusive policies, providing bathroom facilities to ensure privacy and considering gender-neutral uniforms. It also suggests better education around using inclusive language.
Former Chiefs Super Rugby coach Warren Gatland is urging New Zealand Rugby to adopt Scott Robertson as the next All Blacks coach. Gatland has been announced as the new Wales coach ahead of next year's World Cup, replacing fellow New Zealander Wayne Pivac, who was sacked after the Welsh lost 9 of their 12 tests this year. Gatland, who coached Wales previously and leaves his role at the Chiefs to return to the UK, says Crusaders mentor Robertson, who was overlooked in favour of Ian Foster, should be the next All Blacks boss.
There's one person at the moment in New Zealand who's been incredibly successful, and he deserves an opportunity because of the success he's had in New Zealand rugby. You know, there's only one standout person that, and New Zealand should be doing everything they can to make sure they secure his services long term and going forward.
And that's the latest news and sport for RNZ Pacific. You can read more on our website, rnzi.com.